Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Let's turn together in our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The first statement of this hymn is the foundational statement for everything that follows. Everything that follows is born out of the acknowledgement, the recognition, the affirmation in the psalmist's heart that the Lord is my shepherd. It's like worship. When the individual truly worships the Lord, everything else about the life becomes the outflow of that experience with the Lord. When we come face to face with our God, when we enter into His presence and allow Him to enter into our experience, then everything else about us is ordered around that. And when we do not allow that, when we do not permit that, then our life reflects it. David understood in the twilight of his years, as he's an old man now, and I believe as he is preparing himself, as Paul did in 2 Timothy, he is preparing himself to die. He looks back, and as Paul looked back, and he wrote to young Timothy, I have run the race, I've fought the fight, I've kept the faith. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Again, it is foundational to everything that follows. It's very simple, it's very plain, it's very clear. Even a child can understand it, even a child can recite it, and yet in its simplicity it is so profound. In its height and its breadth and its depth, that even if we could spend all day discussing just these five words, we would not be able to exhaust their meaning. I want us to take a look at this first verse and explore some of its understanding, that we might grasp what David is really singing about. Just how David's heart just opens up and exalts the Lord in this song. First of all, I have to ask, who is this Lord that David is singing about? Now, readily we would say, well, he's talking about the Lord God. Yeah, but who is this Lord? Who is this God that David is singing about? And who is this Lord that he's singing to? Well, in the Old Testament, there are a number of different words that are translated in your English Bible. They're translated Lord. The first one is Adonai. And when Adonai is in reference to God, it speaks of God as creator, who owns everything that He creates and controls everything that He creates. Oftentimes, the word Adonai is never, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? Almost always when Adonai is used, it's not in a personal sense. Adonai is often used in an impersonal way, speaking of the Lord God like an object, like creator, like the one who controls all. It's seldom used in a personal way. Rod is another word that's translated Lord in your Old Testament Bible, and it means chief, or it means the leader of my tribe. The collective object of our respect. Oftentimes God is looked upon in that sense in the Old Testament. He is the one who me and my family look to as being Lord and God over us. It's used in a kind of religious sense, where the family collectively gives honor and respect to the God of the family. And then there is a third word, Mary, which is also translated Lord, but refers to God as the exalted one, the one that is high and lifted up. Now, these are the three primary terms that are translated Lord in your Old Testament Bible. And again, in many instances, they're impersonal. Their use is impersonal. They look upon God as an object of devotion, an object of worship, an object of respect, and an object of honor. But David doesn't use any of these terms here in the 23rd Psalm because they're very impersonal. It's amazing how so many of us treat God in a very impersonal way. Like many of the people of the Old Testament, we'll view God as being the object of respect. We'll view God as the object of our religion, our religious ceremony, our religious traditions, our religious activities. But we don't see God, in many ways, we don't see God as being personal to us. We ignore Him, we reject Him, we rebel against Him as a people, as a culture, as a society, and yet we want Him to be within arm's reach when crisis comes. Case in point, when the 9/11 attacks occurred, many in this country asked, where is God in all of this? And why would God allow this to happen to us? But when you look at what's been going on in this country over the past several years, you'll readily see that we have been marching steadily in a campaign to rid our society of our spiritual heritage and focus. Even when we do acknowledge God, in many instances, it's very impersonal. We talk about the God of the Bible. We talk about the God of the universe. We talk about the God of the Christian faith. My country, 'tis of thee, one nation under God. We acknowledge His existence, but oftentimes in a very impersonal way. And it is an impersonal way in which we acknowledge Him, because very little of who God is and what God is about impacts our lives. We will give Him His due when we're in church, and we will give Him His due even in our family devotions. We will give Him His due when we're around Christian people talking about Christian things. But in the normal, everyday throes of life, in the normal conversation, in the normal activities of our daily lives, there is very little impact that God has upon us as a people. And again, I believe it's because we look at God in such a very impersonal way. But not so David. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, and he uses the name Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. Yahweh is the most sacred name of God. It is the most holy name of God. It speaks of God's self-existence. It speaks of His self-determination. It speaks of His self-sufficiency. When Moses was commissioned by the Lord to go into Egypt and confront Pharaoh and secure the release of the Hebrew people from slavery, Moses said to the Lord, they're going to ask me who has sent me. And who am I going to say has sent me? And the Lord said, tell them I am has sent you. Yahweh. The holy name of the true and living God. The sacred name of Almighty God, but more than that, it's the covenant name of God. It's the name of God that expresses not only His dynamic, as powerful, as sovereign, as having all authority and all power at his disposal, but it also speaks of his person. One who desires fellowship with man. One who experiences fellowship with man. It's his personal name. It's his covenant name. Now we know that a covenant is an agreement made between people who know each other. Very seldom do we ever enter into an agreement with anyone unless we know who they are. Unless we have some understanding of what they're about. David uses the covenant name of God when he describes him as the shepherd, because David knew God personally. David knew God personally. They walked together. They fellowshipped with each other. They fought together on the battlefield. They ruled Israel together. Their relationship was more than just creator to creation, more than just master to servant. They were friends. They knew each other personally. Theirs was a lifelong fellowship of mutual love and honor and respect. Yes, David sinned against the Lord God. And yes, David paid for his sins. And yes, at the moment of his sin, fellowship with God was broken. But the tenor of David's life, from the very beginning of our understanding of who David was back in 1 Samuel, till the end of his days, the tenor of his life was one of fellowship with God. He loved the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. His desire was for the Lord. He looked to the Lord daily for the things of his life. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd," Yahweh, Almighty God, the covenant God. My friend is my shepherd. Notice also, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, in the formative years of his life, David was a shepherd. He tended his father's sheep out in the fields around Bethlehem. He knew, he understood the dynamics of being a shepherd, being responsible for sheep. Now, today, most of us are unfamiliar with what it means to be a shepherd and what goes on into being a shepherd. And even in countries and places where shepherding is still carried on, it's carried on more of a business than it is anything else. But again, not so with David. You see, David uses the term shepherd not in a business sense, like I'm taking care of my father's sheep because it's important. If they're not taken care of, then they'll be lost and we won't get as much money from them when we sell them. Not in a business sense. David is expressing his understanding of God in its most intimate and compassionate sense. Because you see, a good shepherd is personally concerned with the welfare of his sheep. He's personally concerned with the welfare of his sheep, all of them and each one of them. The shepherd knows every member of his flock by name. He knows their individual nature and he knows their distinctive characteristics. The Bible says that God has that same intimate knowledge of you and I. He knows us all by name. He knows the very hairs of our head. He knows the thoughts that we think and the very motive of our heart. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is intimately acquainted with who I am, with what I am. He knows me personally. And because he knows me personally, he is able to care and provide for and protect me individually. Now David sang this song, "The Lord is my shepherd." And one of the remarkable things about this song is the personal pronoun, "my." The Lord is my shepherd. Which again underscores the personal relationship that David had with Jehovah God. It was a relationship that was not shared by most of the people, because you see, Israel spoke of the Lord much like you and I speak of the Lord, in very impersonal terms. The Lord, our God. The Lord, our shepherd. Our Lord. Just like we speak of my country, 'tis of thee, or one nation under God, in very impersonal terms, but not David. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I suppose it's only natural that we view the Lord as high and holy, so far above us it would be profane to think of him as having anything to do with us individually or personally. But the Bible stresses again and again and again the desire of the Lord to walk with his people, to fellowship with his people, to dwell in the midst of his people. He is my shepherd. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Can you grasp that, dear friends? He who was the Lord of glory before time ever was. He who was the master and the ruler of all of the heavenly host. He, the second person of the Godhead, who clothed himself in human flesh and dwelt among us. He who lived a sinless, perfect life. He who went to the cross to die for your sins and for my sins. He who was risen by the power of God from the grave is our friend. Can you grasp the meaning of that? Can you understand the desire of the Lord for that kind of intimate relationship with you and me? Think of what a dear friend is really all about to you. Someone that you can share life with. Someone that you can speak to about the deepest concerns of your heart and your spirit. Someone that you can speak to for hours. Someone that can enjoy your ups and your downs. Someone who's there when everything is falling apart. Someone you can lean on. Someone that you can cry with. Someone that you can rejoice with. Someone you can celebrate the victories of life with, and someone who'll be there with you when everything in life falls apart. That's what a dear friend is. And Jesus said, you are my friends. Not a friend, but my friend. The close, intimate, personal relationship that we have with someone that's dearer to us than blood kin, dearer to us than anyone else in the world. The story is told of a young mother who had a young son, 4 or 5 years old. And this young son was diagnosed with cancer, terminal cancer. And while this young mother understood what that meant, it was certainly beyond the grasp of the child. But the young mother was not going to burden this young son with all of the implications of this disease that he was suffering from. She was going to be there for this young child. And she spent hours upon hours, days and weeks and months ministering to her young son. Singing songs, praying with him, praying for him, telling stories together, doing things together that he was able to do. Oftentimes spending hours upon hours, days and weeks, even months in the hospital, going through painful treatments. One of the things that this young mother taught her young son was this psalm, the 23rd psalm. What a blessing and what a comfort. And she stressed to her young son that Jesus was her shepherd and was his shepherd also. And to help this young child remember this, She said, let's take these five words and let's put them on our five fingers. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And over the course of his illness, this little child would recite to his mother, the Lord is my shepherd. And as they talked and as they ministered together, the Lord became very real and very personal to this child. Late one night, she got a call from the hospital. The nurse said, you need to come. When she entered into his room, her little son had already gone. She looked upon his face and saw the serenity. No distress, no worry, but a silent and serene composure. And as she looked down from his face, she saw his hands. And his hands were kind of folded on his little tummy. And with one hand, he had grasped the ring finger of the other hand. The Lord is my shepherd. This little one was clinging to his understanding of what it meant for the Lord to be very real to him. He's my shepherd, and that's what he was holding on to. Can we have that kind of relationship with the God of the universe? Yes, we can. Bible tells us that Moses was the friend of God, Exodus 33:11, that Enoch walked in fellowship with God, Genesis 5:22. The Bible says that Abraham was the friend of God forever, 2 Chronicles 20:7. David enjoyed this very same relationship with a true and living God. David knew the Lord, not as the one who created the stars of the heavens, not only as the one who created the green pastures in which his father's flocks would feed, not only as the one who gave a beautiful song to the waters as they flowed over the rocks in the brook, not only as the one who allowed the birds to sing and fly in the heavens and the fish to swim in the waters. David knew God as my shepherd, my friend, the one who knows me and cares for me and provides for me and protects me. He's my shepherd. And so I ask the question to you, dear friend, do you know the Lord as your shepherd? Or is he some impersonal object of some religious devotion or respect when you feel spiritual or when you go to church or even when you pray? Is he someone who sticks closer to you than a brother? Or is he someone you sing about in some anthem? Or maybe even read about in some book? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. All that David was to the sheep of his father, provider, protector, caregiver, friend, nurturer, guardian, guide, and defender. All these things that David was as the shepherd of his father's sheep, the Lord was to David personally. And because of that, David could sing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I like the Hebrew much better than I like the English. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. The significance of the word want is not so much with regard to our desires as much as it is with regard to our needs. And what David is saying here is, the Lord meets every need that I ever have. And as it was his desire to meet the needs of his father's sheep, David understood it's the Lord's desire to meet every need of his sheep. Now we're going to note as we go through this psalm in the next several Sundays, we're going to note that because the Lord is my shepherd, listen, because the Lord is my shepherd, I may not possess all that I wish for, but I shall not want for anything that I need. Let me say that again. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I may not possess all that I wish for, but I shall not want for anything that I need. In other words, the Lord delights to provide. He delights to provide for my needs, even though I may not ask for them. But he may not provide for my wants, even though I repeatedly ask for those. Because that's what a good shepherd does. He does not necessarily allow the sheep to go wherever they want to. But he lovingly and caringly coerces them to go where they need to. They may not necessarily like the medications that he should administer to help them, but he administers those medications because it's what's needed. For David to call God my shepherd was to know the Lord as his king and as his savior and as the one who makes every provision for his life, both temporal and spiritual. When you look at the psalm and you read through it, you'll notice that the psalmist talks about rest and refreshment for the body, but also peace for the spirit and prosperity for the life. He talks about renewal and restoration for the soul and faith for the faint of heart, and fellowship along life's way. He talks about goodness and mercy in this life and a home with God when this life is over. The Lord provides for both our temporal and our spiritual needs. One final thought, and I'll close. The Good Shepherd of the Old Testament is the great Savior of the New Testament. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Jesus says to us, and let me read it out of the Contemporary English Version, Matthew chapter 6. Listen to what Jesus says. "I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about have something to eat or drink or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even store grain in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Are you worth more than birds? Can worry make you live any longer? Why worry about clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They don't work hard to make their clothes, but I tell you that Solomon, with all of his wealth, wasn't as well clothed as one of them. God gives such beauty to everything that grows in the fields, even though it's here today and it's thrown in the fire tomorrow. He will surely do even more for you. Why do you have such little faith? Don't worry and ask yourselves, will we have anything to eat? Will we have anything to drink? Will we have any clothes to wear? Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these. But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what He wants. Then other things will be added to you as well." The Good Shepherd of the Old Testament is the great Savior of the New Testament. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Can you say that? Is he your good shepherd?
Are you lacking in anything in your life? Understand, dear friends, that if you know Him personally, as David, as Moses, as Abram, as Jesus, as the apostles, then whatever your life needs, He will abundantly supply. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you that we have such a wonderful shepherd watching over us, caring for us, guiding us, guarding us, nurturing us, growing us up to become His prized possession. Thank you that we understand who you are through your word that teaches us what it means to be a good shepherd. And Father, those of us who know you have found you to be indeed a great shepherd over your people. But Father, there are those here today who don't know you as shepherd of their lives. Well, they know about you. They talk about you, they sing about you, they've read about you, and they hear about you, but they don't know you. And their life, Father, is lacking in certain areas where there is deep need. First of all, the need for friendship and fellowship with you. Is it possible that we can have a personal relationship with you? Yes. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. You've said, Lord God, that if we will confess Jesus with our lips and believe in our heart that you've raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And by being saved, we will enter into that personal relationship with you as friend with friend. Is it the heart's desire today, Lord God, that we should walk with you as friend with friend? If so, I pray that soul will come confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They will find that Jesus is the great shepherd, able to provide for their every need. And for brothers and sisters who already know Christ as Savior and Lord, Father, are they walking in fellowship with Him daily? Do they find in Him a great shepherd to care for their every need? Or do they worry about today, about tomorrow, about next week or next year? Father, I pray that you will instill within each and every one of us just to be as sheep to the great shepherd, just to rest and rely upon you to provide for those things that we are most needful of. That you will lead us where we need to go. You will encourage us to do what needs to be done. And when it's all over with, Father, you will take us in to your heavenly habitation to dwell with you forever. Father, we give you this invitation. We give you the decision of our soul in this invitation and pray that you will be honored and glorified in that decision. Through Jesus Christ we ask. Amen and amen. Stand with me if you will, please. David is going to lead us in an invitation, hymn, a time of decision. Do you know the Lord as your personal friend? Do you know Him as the shepherd of your life? Are you walking daily in fellowship with the Lord God? You may say, well, it's impossible to do so. Not according to the Bible, dear friend. According to the Bible, we can be the friend of God, and He can be our dearest friend also. He wants to be. He desires to be our friend. What is necessary for you to enter into that kind of relationship is to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Jesus, His Son. And that fellowship with God then will begin. And because of that fellowship with God, whatever your needs may be today, tomorrow, or whenever, God will see to it that those needs are met. And He'll take care of them personally. Why? Because He is your personal friend. Your heart's desires to be saved, you come. To begin this fellowship with the Lord, you come. Maybe you've already begun your walk with the Lord, but you've not been biblically baptized, you come. Maybe your heart's desires to get involved in ministry somehow in some local fellowship. If the Lord is leading you to this family, then you come. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you need to correct
some things in your life with the Lord. If that's the case, then you just simply come. Whatever your need is, David, as he leads us, you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Come as we sing.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.